So competition to help come up with some fun ideas for future menus, you know, with all the different puns and ideas. We put it online, and local comedians had a bit of fun saying different things. And one of my favourite ones was the squashed bun rests, yum, 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 which obviously was taken from Seamus Heaney's famous poem. And Heaney rhymes with a lot of things, so we've kind of really gone to town with that. So I thought I really should share one of his, because of course he's just exquisite. So we're going to have a go at combining the music and the poetry now. And he doesn't mention buns in this, but he does mention butter, which of course is so important to Irish cooking and to poetry. And this is called Bogland for TP Flanagan. We have no prairies to slice a big sun at evening. Everywhere the eye concedes to encroaching horizon is wooed into the cyclops' eye of a tarn. Our unfenced country is bog that keeps crusting between the sights of the sun. They've taken the skeleton of the great Irish elk out of the peat, set it up, an astounding crate full of air. Butter sunk under more than 100 years was recovered salty and white. The ground itself is kind black butter, melting and opening underfoot, missing its last definition by millions of years. They'll never dig coal here, only the waterlogged trunks of great firs, soft as pulp. Our pioneers keep striking inwards and downwards. Every layer they strip seems camped on before. The bog holes might be Atlantic seepage. The wet center is bottomless. So among our guests tonight is Brian John Spencer. Some of you might have met him throughout the course of the night already. He's drawn a very stunning picture of me. And if you're lucky enough to have had your picture drawn, hang on to it because it might be worth something. He's really trailblazing, and he has this incredible creative mind, and is a very, very inspiring artist. So it's a thrill to have him here. And he's going to share a few of his ideas with you now. Please welcome Brian John Spencer.
Do you think my voice has the correct projection?
Yeah.
Is it okay if I do away with this?
Yes.
Well, hasn't tonight been wonderful?
Yes.
Round of applause. A piece of reason and a flow of soul. Alice spoke earlier about a bit of finding a bit of bohemian and a bit of old time. So hopefully I'll bring a bit of that for you now. I'm going to first riff a wee bit, really, just bringing out some of my thoughts that flow through my head as I live and work in Belfast, and as all my friends have emigrated far away, and I try to lure them back by making this place great again. And then I'll finish with a wee poem. So here we go. I love Ireland. I love being Irish. I love coming from Ireland. It's such a privilege. I guess you all know about that. Travel anywhere and you know the love and affection that we have. We're kind of like teacher's pet of the international community. We really are privileged. Lily McNeice wrote in Autumn Journal, "Why do we like being Irish? Partly because it gives us a hold on the sentimental English as members of a world that never was baptized with fairy water. And also partly because Ireland is small enough still to be thought with a family feeling." And then there's a fascinating guy who's actually like solicitor advocate for the United Irishmen. Those who were then sentenced to death and were hung on the gallows, John Philpott Curran. And he wrote, "An emerald set in the ring of the sea, each blade of thy meadows my faithful heart prizes. Thou green of the west, the world's Cushla Macree," meaning darling. And I think that's what Ireland is. And I only read that quite recently, and it reminded me of what Shakespeare said about Scepter Dial. And Ireland is really Scepter Dial, but sometimes I feel like it's a bit of a, more of a septic isle, really, Northern Ireland. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Us Scott, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of like the bastard child of John Bull and Kathleen Na Hoolihan. I'm kind of like Irish and British, and those who say I'm Irish, I say I'm British, and those people who say I'm British, I say I'm Irish. And we're very awkward like that. And like I said, many leave, and those who stay maybe have to endure with the blind, astonishing remorse that people have for things long ended. But there was a day when Ulster was the Athens of the North, when we hark back to the United Irishmen and the Scottish Enlightenment and the great ideals that were put forward then. Nowadays, as he said, the Black North. Britain, although we're more British than Britain, by the most British, sees us as the despised hangers-on. And likewise, I think from the South, that there's an exaggerated sense of Irishness, and they look at us as the unruly cousins. They want nothing to do with us. But I want to change this, and my way of looking at it is there's many ways of doing it. You can change the economy, it can be left-wing, right-wing, you can change the healthcare, housing, whatnot. But there are many ways of being talented. There's not just, you're not talented, you are talented. And it's taken me a while to discover that. And my strength is in art, it's not in sitting at a desk. And to steal the Trumpism, I want to make Northern Ireland great again. but I don't want to deal with that sort of populist politics as much as we had a wonderful discussion earlier, and my politics radically maybe diverged from my friends tonight. And I want Belfast to be a great art and cultural capital. Dublin had its literary revival, and Paris, and this is what I want to talk about, it had the Hemingway and the de Beauvoir and Greece and Stein and Joyce, obviously went to Zurich, and all the other ones like Maddox and so on, I can't remember them all. But we fetishize these people, you know, the Becketts and the even C.S. Lewis, and we think we have to wait for them to bring back magic, and we have to go to them for magic. And so, but as Charles Rowe said, graves are full of indispensable men. And why can't we create that? Why we don't need to wait for them? We could have, as France had the Belle Epoque, we could have like a Belfast Epoque. And that's what I'm doing. So I go around, and not everyone can have this luxury, but I want to go around and just spread a bit of happiness with my art, and make street art, and sit in coffee shops and draw and write and have salons and events like this, being me in old time. So I'm just going out there, really, and I'm just sort of leading by example, just to be a bit more laissez-faire and a bit more easygoing and not waiting for permission. Just go out and do it. Don't write up your proposal and submit the grant waiting for a bursary. Just go out and do it. You know, if that happened, I wouldn't have done anything. I'd still be waiting for a job, which I get many rejections from. So trade humbug and cynicism for hope and joy. And to all those maybe older people who are, not older people, but you know, this. Like I said, you're either talented or not talented, you're either young or old, but don't look at it that way. But as C.S. Lewis said, you're never too old to dream when you dream or set a new goal. And that's kind of it. And maybe the last thing before I read out my little poem was, which I found quite beautiful, is day by day nothing changes. And Arlene Foster said this as well. But in the end, you look back and it's all different. So that's just my little riff out loud. And if I have time, can I just do it? Yeah, I don't want to overgo. Maurice James Craig, and it's a beautiful poem, and I just want to share it with you, because Belfast does have an image problem. Northern Ireland does, and I suffer from Belfast blush, but I want to rehabilitate it and create a thriving artistic cultural centre. So he says, "White brick in the suburb, red brick in the suburb, white horse in the wall, Italian marble in the Grand City Hall. Oh, stranger from England, this is a key. Why stand so aghast? Because they come here and they see our unruliness. May the Lord in his mercy be kind to Belfast. This jewel that houses our hopes and our fears was knocked up from the swamp in the last